through faith. Or as another has translated, that Messiah may settle down and be at home in your hearts by faith. Without question, one of the most remarkable messianic doctrines is that Yeshua, the Messiah himself, through the Holy Spirit, will actually enter a heart, settle down, and be at home there. Messiah will live in any human heart that welcomes him. He said to his disciples, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him, and make our home with him." But he was also telling them that he was soon to leave them. It was difficult for them to understand what he was saying. How is it possible for him both to leave them and make a home with them at the same time? It is interesting that Yeshua uses a similar concept here, the home, that he uses earlier in John 14. "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also." He was promising that just as he was going to heaven to prepare a place for them and would one day welcome them there, so it would be possible for them to prepare a place for them in their hearts now. He would come and make his home with them right here. This was beyond their comprehension. How could it be? Then came Shavuot, or Pentecost. The Spirit of the living Messiah was given to the body of believers, and they experienced what he had foretold. Now they understood. God did not dwell in Herod's temple in Jerusalem, nor in any temple made with hands. Now, through the miracle of the outpoured Spirit, God would dwell in human hearts. The body of the believer had become the temple of the living God, and the human heart, the home of Yeshua. 30 minutes after Shavuot, that Pentecost, the Talmudim, the disciples, knew more about the Messiah than they had known in the 3 years previously. It is difficult for me to think of a higher privilege than to make for Yeshua a home in my heart, to welcome, to serve, to please, and to know him there. One evening, I invited Yeshua the Messiah into my heart. What an entrance he made! It was not a spectacular emotional thing, but very real. Something happened at the very center of my life. He came into the darkness of my heart and turned on the light. He built a fire on the hearth and banished the chill. He started music where there has been stillness, and he filled the emptiness with his own loving, wonderful fellowship. I have never regretted opening the door to Yeshua, and I never will. In the joy of this new relationship, I said to Yeshua, "Lord, I want this heart of mine to be yours. I want to have you settle down here and be perfectly at home. Everything I have belongs to you. Let me show you around." The first room was the study, the library. In my home, the room of the mind is a very small room with very thick walls, but it is a very important room. In a sense, it is the control room of the house. He entered with me and looked around at the books in the bookcase, the magazines upon the table, the pictures on the wall. As I followed his gaze, I became uncomfortable. Strangely, I had not felt self-conscious about this before, but now that he was there looking at these things, I was embarrassed. Some books were there that his eyes were too pure to behold. On the table were a few magazines that a believer had no business reading. As for the pictures on the walls, the imaginations and thoughts of the mind, some of these were shameful. Red-faced, I turned to him and said, "Master, I know that this room needs to be cleaned up and made over. Will you help me make it what it ought to be?" "Certainly," he said. "I'm glad to help you. First of all, take all the things that you're reading and looking at which are not helpful, pure, good, and true, and throw them out. Now, put on the empty shelves the books of the Bible. Fill the library with scripture and meditate on it day and night. As for the pictures on the walls, you will have difficulty controlling these images, but I have something that will help." He gave me a full-size portrait of himself. Hang this centrally on the wall of the mind. I did. And I discovered through the years that when my thoughts are centered upon Yeshua himself, his purity and power cause impure thoughts to back away. So he has helped me to bring my thoughts under his control. From the study, we went into the dining room, the room of appetites and desires. I spend a lot of time and hard work here trying to satisfy my wants. I said to him, "This is a favorite room. I am quite sure you will be pleased with what we serve." He seated himself at the table with me and asked, "What is on the menu for dinner?" "Well," I said, "my favorite dishes, money, academic degrees, and stocks with newspaper articles of fame and fortune as side dishes. These were the things I liked, secular fare." When the food was placed before him, he said nothing, but I observed that he did not eat it. I said to him, "Master, don't you care for this food? What is the trouble?" He answered, "I have food to eat that you do not know of. If you want food that really satisfies you, do the will of the Father. Stop seeking your own pleasures, desires, and satisfaction. Seek to please him. The food will satisfy you." There at the table, he gave me a taste of the joy of doing God's will. What flavor! There is no food like it in all the world. It alone satisfies. From the dining room, we walked into the living room. This was an intimate room, and it was comfortable. I liked it. It had a fireplace, overstuffed chairs, a sofa, and a quiet atmosphere. He said, "This is indeed a delightful room. Let us come here often. It is secluded and quiet, and we can fellowship together." Well, as a young believer, I was thrilled. I couldn't think of anything I would rather do than have a few minutes with Yeshua in close companionship. He promised, "I will be here early every morning. Meet me here and we will start the day together." So morning after morning, I would come downstairs to the living room. He would take a book of the Bible from the case. We would open it and read together. He would unfold to me the wonder of God's saving truths. My heart sang as he shared the love and the grace he had toward me. These were wonderful times. However, little by little, under the pressure of many responsibilities, this time began to be shortened. Why, I'm not sure. I thought I was too busy to spend regular time with Yeshua. This was not intentional, you understand. It just happened that way. Finally, not only was the time shortened, but I began to miss days now and then. Urgent matters would crowd out the quiet times of conversation with him. I remember one morning rushing downstairs, eager to be on my way. I passed the living room and noticed that the door was open. Looking in, I saw that it was lit, and Yeshua was sitting there beside it. Suddenly, in dismay, I thought to myself, "He is my guest. I invited him into my heart. He has come as my savior and friend, and yet I am neglecting him." I stopped, turned, and hesitantly went in. With downcast glance, I said, "Master, forgive me. Have you been here all these mornings?" "Yes," he said. "I told you I would be here every morning to meet with you. Remember, I love you. I have redeemed you at great cost. I value your fellowship. Even if you cannot keep the quiet time for your own sake, do it for mine." The truth that Yeshua desires my companionship, that he wants me to be with him and waits for me, has done more to transform my quiet time with God than any other single fact. Don't let Messiah wait alone in the living room of your heart, but every day find time when with your Bible and in prayer you may be together with him. Before long, he asked, "Do you have a workroom in your home?" Out in the garage of the home of my heart, I had a workbench and some equipment, but I was not doing much with it. Once in a while, I would play around with a few little gadgets, but I wasn't producing anything substantial. I led him out there. He looked over the workbench and said, well, this is quite well furnished. What are you producing with your life for the kingdom of God? He looked at one or two little toys that I had thrown together on the bench and held one up to me. Is this the sort of thing you are doing for others in your life as a believer? Well, I said, Lord, I know it isn't much, and I really want to do more, but after all, I don't seem to have the strength or the skill to do more. Would you like to do better? He asked. Certainly, I replied. All right, let me have your hands. Now relax and let my spirit work through you. I know that you are unskilled, clumsy, and awkward, but the Holy Spirit is the master workman, and if he controls your hands and your heart, he will work through you. Stepping around behind me and putting his great, strong hands under mine, he held the tools in his skilled fingers and began to work through me. The more I relaxed and trusted him, the more he was able to do with my life. He then asked me if I had a rec room, a family room, a playroom, where I went for fun and fellowship. I was hoping he wouldn't ask about that. There were certain associations and activities that I wanted to keep for myself. One evening when I was on my way out with some of my buddies, he stopped me with a glance and asked, are you going out? I replied, yes. Good, he said. I would like to go out with you. Oh, I answered rather awkwardly, I don't think so, Lord, that you would really enjoy where we are going. Let's go out together tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we'll go to a Bible class at our congregation, but tonight I have another appointment. I'm sorry, he said. I thought that when I came into your home, we were going to do everything together, to be close companions. I just want you to know that I am willing to go with you. Well, I mumbled, slipping out the door, we'll go someplace together tomorrow night. That evening, I spent some miserable hours. I felt rotten. What kind of friend was I to Yeshua, deliberately leaving him out of my life, doing things and going places that I knew very well he would not enjoy? When I returned that evening, there was a light in his room. I went up to talk it over with him. I said, Lord, I have learned my lesson. I now know that I can't have a good time without you. From now on, we will do everything together. Then when we went down into the rec room of the house, he transformed it. He brought new friends, new excitement, new joys. Laughter and music have been ringing through the house ever since. One day I found him waiting for me at the door. An arresting look was in his eye. As I entered, he said to me, there is a peculiar odor in the house. Something must be dead around here. It's upstairs. I think it's in the hall closet. As soon as he said this, I knew what he was talking about. There was a small closet up there on the hall landing, just a few feet square. In that closet, behind lock and key, I had one or two little personal things that I did not want anyone else to know about. Certainly, I didn't want Yeshua to see them. I knew they were dead and rotting things left over from my old life. I wanted them so for myself that I was afraid to admit that they were there. Reluctantly, I went up with him, and as we mounted the stairs, the odor became stronger and stronger. He pointed to the door. I was angry. That's the only way I can put it. I had given him access to the library, the dining room, the living room, the workroom, the rec room. And now he was asking me about a little 2x4 closet. I said to myself, this is too much. I am not going to give him the key. Well, he said, reading my thoughts, if you think I'm going to stay up here on the second floor with this smell, you are mistaken. I will go out on the porch. Then I saw him start down the stairs. When one comes to love and know Yeshua the Messiah, the worst thing that can happen is to sense him withdrawing his fellowship. I had to give in. I'll give you the key, I said sadly, but you will have to open the closet and clean it out. I haven't the strength to do it. Just give me the key, he said. Authorize me to take care of that closet, and I will. With trembling fingers, I passed the key to him. He took it, walked over to the door, opened it, entered, took out all the putrefying stuff that was rotting in there, and threw it away. Then he cleaned the closet and painted it. It was done in a moment's time. Oh, what victory and release to have that dead thing out of my life. A thought came to me. Lord, is there any chance that you would take over the management of the whole house and operate it for me as you did that closet? Would you take the responsibility to keep my life what it ought to be? His face lit up as he replied, I'd love to. That is what I want to do. You cannot be a victorious believer in your own strength. Let me do it through you and for you. That is the way. But, he added slowly, I am just a guest. I have no authority to proceed since the property is not mine. Dropping to my knees, I said, Lord, you have been a guest and I have been the host. From now on, I am going to be the servant. You are going to be the owner and master. Running as fast as I could to the strong box, I took out the title deed to the house, describing its assets and liabilities, location and situation. I eagerly signed the house over to him alone for time and eternity. Here, I said, here it is, all that I am and have, forever. Now you run the house. I'll just remain with you as a servant and friend. He took my life that day, and I can give you my word, there is no better way to live the believing life. He knows how to keep it and use it. A deep peace settled down on my soul that has remained. I am his, and he is mine forever. May Yeshua settle down and be at home as the Lord of your heart also.